This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Glad to be with you tonight. They are the three words that have chilled us so many times. Another school shooting. This time it happened at a high school in Kentucky where students and teachers huddled in fear, others fleeing in panic as shots rang out near the start of the school day. A 15-year-old boy accused of opening fire on his classmates, killing two and leaving 17 people injured, 14 of them shot. It happened in the rural community of Benton, Kentucky. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is there tonight and has the latest.
The chaos erupted just before 8 a.m.
Marshall County High School active shooter.
As students gathered in a common area.
Got one shot in the head, one to the back, one to the abdomen.
Hundreds of teenagers running for their lives from Marshall County High School in Benton, Kentucky.
I heard like two shots and I turned around and behind me I see like this big figure of a person and I just see like fire coming from a gun.
17 people injured, 14 of them shot, two 15-year-olds died.
This is a wound that is going to take a long time to heal.
Police say a 15-year-old student barged into the school with a handgun and opened fire.
And he was apprehended. There's no way to know at this point how much farther it would have went.
Investigators would not identify the shooter, but this person was seen led away in handcuffs.
How'd you make it out?
Well, I mean, we just ran. That's all I can say.
Senior Brian Butler, his hands still trembling, told us he and other students had barricaded themselves in a classroom.
When I looked through the door, I'd seen one of the students that had been injured, and I had to back away from the glass. I couldn't look at it anymore.
Chad Durnall, a photographer with NBC station WPSD, captured these images after he just dropped off his daughter at the school.
Just minutes later, I hadn't made it more than a mile down the road, she was calling back, saying, "Daddy, there's been a shooting."
After he made sure his daughter was safe, he waited at the main office with three other students.
I was talking to one of my buddies in the commons, and he got shot in his chest. We ran out together, but I lost him. I don't know where he went.
Kentucky State Police say the 15-year-old suspected shooter is in custody and will be charged with murder and attempted murder. Investigators believe he acted alone, but so far, they have not revealed a motive. Lester.
A horrifying tragedy. All right, thank you, Gabe Gutierrez. Tonight, there are new signs that the Russia investigation is getting closer to President Trump. NBC News has learned that Robert Mueller's investigators have now interviewed Attorney General Jeff Sessions, a key player in the Trump campaign and in the Trump administration. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has been on the case for us from the start and pushed the president himself today in the Oval Office about that revelation.
NBC News has learned tonight James Comey, the former FBI director who led the Russia probe, and Jeff Sessions, the attorney general who was forced to recuse himself, have both been interviewed by special counsel Robert Mueller's team. A Justice Department official says Sessions sat for hours of questions just last week. Comey was interviewed last year about memos he wrote about his interactions with the president, a source close to Comey revealed.
Thank you.
No, I'm not at all concerned.
Did you talk to him about it?
No, I didn't, but I'm not at all concerned. Thank you all very much.
It's not clear what the special counsel asked Sessions, but the attorney general was instrumental in the firing of former FBI director James Comey, which led to the appointment of the special counsel, who is investigating potential obstruction of justice. Mr. Trump telling Lester the probe was at the root of his decision to fire Comey.
I said to myself, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story.
As the investigation gets closer to the president, Mr. Trump is escalating his battle with the very department that's investigating him. This morning, slamming the FBI after revelations they're missing 5 months worth of text messages between an FBI agent who was removed from the special counsel probe for writing disparaging messages about then-candidate Trump to an FBI attorney who also worked on the Mueller team. The president calling it one of the biggest stories in a long time. The White House also lashed out at reports that current FBI Director Christopher Wray threatened to resign to protest pressure he was getting from Sessions and others to fire Deputy Director Andrew McCabe.
No, he didn't at all. He did not. He did not even a little bit. Nope. And he's going to do a good job.
And tonight, conversations are ongoing between the president's legal team and the special counsel, which will seek to interview Mr. Trump. Sources familiar with the matter tell NBC News that could happen in a matter of weeks, Lester.
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight. Thanks. Tragic new details tonight of that hotel terror attack in Afghanistan. The State Department revealing that a number of American citizens were among the 22 people killed in that siege in Kabul, though they have not yet been publicly identified. NBC News chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel now with the latest.
The Americans were killed during this brazen terrorist attack on a hotel in the middle of Kabul this weekend. Bombs going off as six Taliban militants wearing Afghan uniforms burst into the hotel. Parts of the hotel caught fire during the assault. More than 100 people managed to escape, some lowering themselves to safer floors on bedsheets as the gunmen moved through the hallways. Americans are still hunted in Kabul despite the 16-year-long American war to pacify Afghanistan. President Trump increased U.S. troop levels to 14,000, and the administration is reportedly considering adding 1,000 more on top of that. The commitment, open-ended.
Typically, insurgencies take at least a decade, if not two, to resolve. This is a long-term operation. It will get worse before it gets better.
America's longest war getting longer. American soldiers and civilians in the crosshairs, even at their hotel. Richard Engel, NBC News.
Now to our journey inside North Korea. Suspicious of outsiders and now a nuclear power unafraid to confront the West. We spent 2 days on the ground trying to see with our own eyes what life is like under the iron rule of Kim Jong-un and whether its recent Olympics overture signals a possible reset.
They're images we rarely see. A look inside the secretive world of North Korea. It began on our flight into the country. Propaganda films, the in-flight entertainment.
They're announcing that we have just now crossed into North Korea, about an hour into our flight. It's kind of a frozen, mountainous landscape below us.
The next day, we're taken from our guest house through the capital streets. Government escorts determine where we can go, watching and listening to every move. Pictures shot without permission, certain buildings, groups of people, military, we are told to delete.
We're passing through central Pyongyang now. It's about 8:30 on a Sunday morning here. Lots of people out walking. We see them on the bicycles. What we don't see are a lot of cars on the road.
This city filled with murals and signs, images of the Kim family, which has ruled this country since its founding. This one saying, let's achieve new victory. A reminder, North and South Korea are still technically at war. But now, the Olympic breakthrough. We are taken to a ski resort 4 hours outside Pyongyang, a source of immense pride for a country trying to present a new and modern face to the world. While most in this country are believed to live in poverty, this appears to be a getaway for the North Korean elite. And now, it's one of the sites where North and South Korean athletes will train to compete in the Olympics under a united Korean flag. They will also have a joint women's hockey team.
As a North Korean, I am excited. I am overflowing with pride, and I believe from this opportunity, the whole world will envy us.
We sat down with Han Ho-chul, executive secretary of North Korea's Olympic Committee and part of the delegation that negotiated with South Korea.
Are there any concerns about combining some of these teams so close to the Olympics?
Hockey is a team sport that needs to train together. However, we are the same people who share the same language, same culture, and same blood.
On the face of it, there is nothing to suggest this period of Olympic détente will have anything to do with the nuclear standoff. Some argue, however, that it does strengthen the hand of Kim Jong-un.
Just weeks ago, Kim Jong-un unleashed another threat at the U.S., claiming he has a nuclear button on his desk and that the U.S. is in his range. For a world holding its breath over an Olympic peace breakthrough, a senior North Korean government official tells NBC News its nuclear program will continue.
You think the North Koreans will launch one of these this year?
Oh, certainly. I think they may take a break for the Olympics, but I don't see any reason for them to stop testing.
Dr. Jeffrey Lewis specializes in non-proliferation. We met with him in California before our trip. He showed us exclusively a detailed model and technical assessment of North Korea's most advanced missile, tested last November.
Any doubt that this missile that you think you have replicated can reach the continental United States?
Oh, no doubt whatsoever. This is a very large missile. Oh, all the way down to Mar-a-Lago.
North Korea has been hit with punishing sanctions, but Lewis showed us new commercial satellite photos that suggest they may be illegally exporting coal. The U.S. says the sanctions are hurting North Korea. On the ground, people are defiant when asked about the nuclear standoff.
Because we have our dear Supreme Kim Jong-un, we have no fear and are always ready. If the U.S. is firing at us, even though we love peace, we are not fearful.
For people in the United States who will see this, what do you want them to think about the DPRK?
Even though those people are sanctioning us to make our life hard, we will still pull together to make our country strong. We are not the people the Americans think we are.
But it's impossible to know what people on the street really think, with government officials listening to our conversation. One thing stood out. The answers were similar everywhere we traveled.
The inescapable thought as you walk through the streets of North Korea is the question of how can the United States head off a nuclear confrontation? The fact is North Korea is now a nuclear power, unwilling to relinquish that power. And how we deal with that reality remains one of the most critical questions of our time. There was a major scare overnight from Alaska all the way down the West Coast when a powerful 7.9 magnitude earthquake struck undersea in the Gulf of Alaska. The force triggered tsunami warnings and evacuations, many residents waking up to warnings on their phones. But after several tense hours, the warnings were canceled with no reports of injuries or property damage. There's a lot more ahead still to come. Are e-cigarettes safer than traditional cigarettes? What a major panel of experts revealed today, and the impact vaping is having on our kids. Tonight, in what is being called the most comprehensive analysis of its kind, new research is out on the dangers of e-cigarettes. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine says vaping is likely less harmful than traditional cigarettes, but warns it can be addictive, too, leading teens to smoke regular cigarettes. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has the details.
Millions of Americans use them, many giving up cigarettes for electronic ones, believing they're safer and less addictive. Now, a new comprehensive study concludes e-cigarettes are likely to be less harmful than conventional cigarettes, but they're also addictive.
Vaping truly got me off of cigarettes, and I think it's a healthier alternative. Do I think it's perfect? No.
The 600-page report from the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine says e-cigs may help smokers like Matthew Owens drop cigarettes, but warns the long-term health effects from vaping are unclear. The study also finds e-cigarettes can hook teens and young adults, raising their risk of becoming traditional smokers.
There is some evidence that vaping or smoking e-cigarettes among youth who have never smoked may lead them to start smoking cigarettes. Whether they continue to smoke long-term, we don't yet have the data on that.
The vaping industry says the study has flaws, and e-cigarettes are a much better alternative for adult smokers.
I've been 2 years clean of cigarettes, but I stay glued to the vape. So, you know, I'm constantly vaping. I have to have it around me because I do still have that nicotine addiction in my brain.
Tonight, some answers many have been waiting for. But while e-cigarettes are popular, their long-term health risk remains unknown. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Coming up, the Oscar nominations are out. Did your favorites make the cut this year? And she's making history, the senator and working mom who's about to do something no senator has ever done before. The nominations are out for the 90th Academy Awards, and the race for Best Picture is shaping up to be anyone's guest. The Shape of Water leads all the nominees with 13 nods, including Best Picture, where it's up against other favorites like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Lady Bird, which also scored a Best Director nomination for Greta Gerwig, just the fifth woman ever nominated in that category. Jordan Peele became the fifth black filmmaker to get a Best Director nod, as his smash hit Get Out snagged four nominations. An American icon has died. Naomi Parker Fraley, better known as the real-life Rosie the Riveter, Her identity was a mystery for decades before researchers identified Fraley just 2 years ago as the inspiration for the iconic female World War II factory worker. Naomi Parker Fraley was 96 years old. And a big announcement from Illinois, Senator Tammy Duckworth today. Duckworth is set to become the first U.S. senator in history to give birth while in office. Duckworth is due this spring after she celebrates her 50th birthday. This will be the second child for Duckworth, a decorated Army veteran who lost both legs fighting in the Iraq War. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.